everyone. Thanks for tuning into this week's message. My name is Alessandra, and I'm part of the team here at Friends Church. Everything we do around here depends 100% on the generous donations of our local and online community. That's people just like you who believe that life is really about leaving a positive mark on our world. So if you love what Friends Church is up to, I'd like to encourage you to contribute by going to friendschurch.ca. With that, let's jump into this week's message.
So, good morning. My name is Vince. Been here for a while, and like not just today, but before. And I just wanted to say thank you. So whether you're tuning in online for the first time or the 25th time, I think that's about 6 months times four online messages, welcome. Welcome to the spiritual gym. And I really, really like how Vince and Jeff define this place as the spiritual gym. Because if you're new here, whether in the room or you're new online, Friends Church is different. And different is better than better. Different is better than better. And what I mean by that, for me, when I first came here, my background is Lutheran, and I'll shout out to all the Lutherans out there. We're a church for people who don't fit church. So just let that be what it is. You can hear music that was incredibly played this morning from the heart, wholeheartedly, just, you know, like, yeah, it's words escape me for how much this music means to me in this place. It gives me the freedom to explore my spiritual journey without the shame, without the judgment. So some people might think that we don't talk about the Bible enough. Well, you know what? You got one at home probably, and there's probably one online. Go for it. Somebody resonates this because we have a tremendous amount of existing donors that have really stepped up, even more so because of COVID and the experience of online here and all that. And so a big shout out to all of our existing donors who believe in what Friends Church stands for, to believe in that all humans matter, to believe in that whatever your deal is in life, whatever your life looks like, it's welcome here. So those donors that are out there contributing consistently on pre-authorized giving and donations, one-time donations, time and energy, thank you, thank you, thank you. And if Friends Church is a place that is meaningful to you and you've never donated before, that's cool. And if you want to, the easiest way is on our app. And if you don't want to download the app because you think cell phones are the devil, that's cool. Some people are out there. We can do it online. And however you want to do it. Pre-authorized giving just makes it easier for budgeting, but if you just want to drop $1 million on a one-time donation, that's cool too. We won't shame you for that. Okay? So thank you very much. It's really, really simple. Technology's got to be our friends here because there's no black box, there's no silver tray that floats around. So if this place means something and it makes an impact in your life by contributing, not only does it make Friends Church work, it allows us to make an impact in the community. And I know Vince and Jeff and the rest of the team are big on that. Lastly, you know, connection's a big deal, right? Human connection's a big deal. And we're wired for human connection. And so we got to figure out a different way to connect if we just don't all show up on a Sunday. So back to the app, for those who are cool with the app, is there's a little connect button at the bottom, and it allows you to click that and click it, and you'll see a little contact card. Fill out that contact card. And you can, you know, you want to hang out, you want to play pinochle or lawn bowling, or you want to hang out with one of the pastors and just kind of offload some stuff that's been real heavy on your life. That app gives us permission to connect you with them, to connect you with others in the organization that, hey, maybe you just want to go for a hike, whatever it is, or you want to participate in any other way. That app is really, really helpful. Like I said, we got to leverage technology to stay connected. Humans aren't designed to stay in a little house at home and just kind of lock up. That's not cool. We're going to lose our minds doing that. So I love you. Welcome. Here to work out. I have some insights onto my brother Vince. He's not my real brother, but you know, his message today. Today you better bring your bench press muscles in because he's going to rock it.
Vince is one of our coaches, and so before I stand up here and bear my soul to you all, I bear it to him, and then he tells me, Vince, you're crazy, you can't say that. And then I edit all that out and I make it make sense, right? You know what, let's just, Friends Church, the organization, is powered by volunteers. And we have some insanely good volunteers. the band, the tech team, the check-in hospitality people, the kids program, they did a big fall retreat out at a thing. Can we just give a huge round of applause and everyone online for all the volunteers? This place would not happen without you, so thank you. Thank you. Today I want to talk a bit, or I want to start my message with a moment, not last week, but the week before. It was one of those moments that you just, you know, you're sitting there and going, oh, geez, of all the times, like, how could this happen? I know you guys remember that Carmen stepped down from running the kids program, and he did a great job, but he just wanted to focus on teens and do something else, and so we hired this incredible person. Her name's Tara, if you haven't met her yet. She's running around with kids right now having a blast. And she's been amazing, but we literally hired her, and then like a week later, the COVID thing hit. And I was like, oh, by the way, remember what we hired you for? Yeah, that's not anymore. And so we've been in this weird middle place, and we started to just finally open up the kids again, right? Schools are opening up. We can do this. It's starting to work. We're getting more and more kids out. They're having a blast. I don't know, there's something about kids screaming and yelling and fun in a church that just puts a smile on my face. I think that's like, when I was growing up, no playing in church. Church and fun were bad. You couldn't put those together. So when I hear kids playing, I'm just like, bring it. So we're having this momentum growing. These kids are starting to have fun. We're getting too many kids signed up. We're having issues with, we don't have enough space. And we're just kind of getting the plane off the runway. And Tara walks into my office on a Tuesday morning. She's like, full disclosure? And I'm like, oh, geez, now what? She's like, yeah, I woke up with a sore throat this morning. It's like, oh, shoot me now. Right? Yeah. How much of our lives right now is, that, you know, things are starting to move along and then something comes along and just takes you out, right? You think, okay, I'm just going to take a road trip to Edmonton, and then you get a flat tire, and you're going, oh, for the love of... Or you go to start your car, and nothing happened. You turn the thing. We found some cheap projector bulbs, tried to save some money. So if you can't see the projector really well, it's because we bought some cheap projector bulbs. But we're smart about it, right? They were like a seventh of the price of a regular one. So we bought two. Huh? One goes down, bam, right the next one. So this morning, we looked at it, and we all went, geez, that's dim. That's not going to work. Let's get the spare bulb out. So we brought out the lift, put it right here. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to blow your guys' minds. It's going to be so bright, you're going to wear sunglasses today. Go to start the lift, click, 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 nothing. I thought I was fairly well restrained that I didn't kick that stupid lift because I was like, you got to be kidding me. We had this whole plan and it was going to be beautiful and suddenly we're in this place where it's chaos, right? Chaos today is this moment where you think things are going to go this way and all of a sudden they take a left. Somebody just made a subtle motion to me of their left, and sorry, it just cracked me up. But, you know, your kid wakes up with a sniffle. You're like, I have a busy day. I knew what I was going to do, and suddenly now I'm going to be homeschooling. I have to do this whole thing. You have this big project you're doing at work, and suddenly they're saying, wait a second, we're laying people off now. Right now, I think we're probably dealing with chaos more than we have in a long time. And the question I want to ask you today is this. How do you handle the chaos? How do you handle it when kind of your idea of how it's going to go, there's just no, whatever you think is going to happen, something different happens. Something takes a left, something takes a right. I remember... I was going to say one of the biggest times. No, the biggest time is when I got divorced. That's a left in the plan of life, isn't it? Any divorced people out there know it's like you're going along and all of a sudden, wow, I am single now. Well, but I had a different moment. I was actually walking to my doctor for some reason. I don't even remember why, but I remember the moment. She's on the second floor and I'm walking up the stairs and as I'm walking up the stairs, my phone rings. So I pull it out of my pocket, look, it's my dad. I thought, oh, that's weird. He doesn't call me very often, but I answered, hey, Dad, can I call you right back? I'm just walking to the doctor. He says, no. Okay. He says, I have something to tell you. Your mom has terminal cancer. My life was going this way, and now it's going this way. My parents had just retired. They worked blue-collar jobs their whole life. They were finally going to start doing things like travel and, you know, all the things they put off because they had no money and they were just working. In the year that they retire, my mom gets terminal cancer. So this story is going to be about me, but please, like, my parents' lives... Talk about chaos. Talk about, like, you think you know where your life's going to go, and suddenly everything's going left. I remember being in the doctor's office. I happened to fly back during the worst of it, and we put my mom in this, like, brace so she could... They find out she had cancer because she broke her neck from washing her hair. She was washing her hair, and all of a sudden her neck just snapped. Obviously not normal. The kind of cancer she had degrades her bones. Your bones slough, and then they rebuild. The cancer that she had stops the bones from rebuilding. So she just kept breaking more and more bones. We put her in this, like, clamshell thing that, like, held her from here to her head so she couldn't move at all, put her in a wheelchair. And we drove to the city to the hospital where her oncologist is. And it was the most surreal experience. The doctor was so amazing. She was this little Asian, not little, medium-sized Asian lady who... I kept thinking, like, man, you deal with this all day, every day. How do you deal with this? And we're just all frazzled. Like, I'm in so much chaos right now. My mom's like, well, she's high as a kite. You break that many bones, they just give you whatever drugs you want. Yeah, she was seeing angels, I think. I don't know what the hell. My dad is losing his mind, right? His partner, 50 years, like... The rest of the family, me and my siblings are all just, you know, it's just, it's chaos. It's the moment in every one of our lives where it's, I didn't guess I was going to be here. This isn't the plan I had. This isn't how I wanted things to turn out. I had a whole journey and we're on an off ramp someplace. And I remember sitting there with the doctor and we're all just, the way forward is just a jumbled mess. You know, I'm dealing with the loss of my mom. She's still there, but I'm grieving her and my dad again. Like, we're all just all over the place. And the doctor starts talking to us about what this journey is going to be like. And it was fascinating to watch. At the time, I was so... head up my butt. I could not, there was no insight. There was just emotions and moments and freaking out. But as I look back, I was amazed at how we as a family, each one of us reacted so differently to the chaos. We weren't even aware of what we were doing, but it was like there was this moment and some of us were going this way and some of us were going this way. And the thing I want us to reflect on today is, how do you react to chaos in your life? Someone said recently, I'm going to paraphrase them, chaos is not optional. It's going to come. I'm just looking at people saying, you know, I've had my third outbreak lockdown already from COVID, right? The number of things that are going to create chaos, we can't control that. So that's going to happen. How are we going to react to it? And I'd like to tell you, I'm going to take a book that was just written in the last year of the newest research. But the reality is, this question has been asked for as long as we have written stuff. The oldest story in the Bible, I think, is written about this moment. How do you deal with chaos? Now, since you guys, what did Vince say? There's probably a Bible someplace in your house, or you can go online and look it up. Since you all have it memorized, the first story in the Bible, again, because you all know, just to test my knowledge, starts with, in the beginning, it's Bereshit. It's actually, if you look up above you, for the people who are here, you see those little hoops up there? That's the visual story they're going to tell you. Because it starts off, in the beginning was chaos. It's like the story of the pandemic. The story of my life, maybe. In the beginning was chaos. The way forward wasn't clear. The plans we had were destroyed. Everything was up in the air. And then the story reads this way. The character God shows up. Now, I'm going to say that really particularly. The character God. So if you guys didn't hear Jeff's message last week, I definitely think you should go back and listen to it, because he parses out why I'm using that phrase, the character God, because this isn't necessarily God. This is a story where there's a character named God with certain attributes. And so without thinking like, okay, that's God and I need to believe in that, no. There's a character in a story named God who does a very particular thing. This character is a being outside of the chaos and comes in and with a word says, I'm going to make order. Light, dark. Not jumbled together. You get dark, then you get light, then you get dark. I'm going to separate the water and the land. You see what's happening? Order. Let me put it into your life. Let me put it into my life first. I'm sitting in front of that little Asian doctor who's done like 20 years of schooling that I don't have. And she's saying, okay, I know you guys are freaking out. I know you guys are losing your minds, but here's the plan. First, we're going to admit her. Second, we're going to do radiation. Radiation is going to kill the cancer in her neck so her neck has enough time to fuse back together. Then we're going to put her on maintenance drugs. Then we're going to hit her with some chemo. And then we're going to go from there. So here's the next 6 months of your guys' lives. It's going to look like this. God comes into the world of chaos and says, this is order. COVID hits and you go online and you look up Henshaw's little brief of the day. And she says, here's what we're going to do. It's all external order that creates a pathway through chaos. Sometimes we call it fate, kismet. Everything happens for a reason. God's plan, karma. It's a way our brain likes to deal with chaos, right? There's this jumbled mess of I don't know what the heck's going on, and something external creates a pathway through that I can follow. That's what the doctor did. This is what the journey is going to be like in your mom's life. Okay. Here's the problem. Some of us were like, bring on the chaos. Like, I don't know what to do. Doctor, you tell us what to do? Great. I'm just going to bow down and do whatever you tell us to do because I have no other idea of what to do in this. Some of us reacted completely differently. So the story of the Bible starts with two stories. They're kind of the same story. They're just told from two different traditions. And they don't really fit together well, but let's just call them the creation stories, and I'm going to air quote that. Put that aside. Third story. The story is about two people, the first two people, Adam, or the Adam, which means mankind, and Eve, which it's a play on the word mother of all. So all of humanity is sitting there represented by two people. Things are going a little bit smoother, right? Still some chaos, but hey, things are going okay. And then the character, and this is why I want to say character God shows up. Because the character God does like the meanest thing you could possibly do. He says, okay, so everywhere you look, have at her. There's trees with fruit on it. There's vegetables. There's blah, blah, blah. Enjoy. But I'm just going to make this one tree right here. It's going to taste better than every other tree. It's going to fill you up more than every other tree. It's going to smell better than every other tree. And oh, by the way, it's going to give you the secrets of life. But you can't eat it. It's right here, though. But you can't eat it. I used to have a dog that loved popcorn. That dog would do anything for popcorn. And I would make it sit, and then I'd put the popcorn, I'd balance it on his nose and say, don't, no. And the dog would just be sitting there with his popcorn on his nose like crossed-eyed, like, this is the story, that with the third story. It's like God saying, everything you've ever wanted in your life is right here, but you can't have it. God is sadistic then, or he likes to mess with people. Or it answers the question of why some of us reacted the way we did in the doctor's office with my mom. You see, if you only have one option, there's no choice there, is there? If this is the only clothes I have in my entire wardrobe, and I get up in the morning and I go to my closet and this is hanging there, do I have any choice? Well, I could be naked, but that's a bit awkward. When we only have one option, we have no choice. Could it be that the storyteller is saying, hey, look, I'm going to create this really bizarre scenario where I create this sadistic character God who creates the perfect tree that everybody wants and then says, no, don't, but I'm going to put it right in front of you, but don't eat it. Could it be that that's a story of choice? You can do what I tell you to do, or you can blow it off and eat the tree. You see, that's the way some of us like to deal with chaos. We're sitting in the doctor's office. My mom's in a clamshell in a wheelchair high as a kite. We're trying to deal with the chaos of cancer in our lives. The doctor says, here's the order we're going to take. It's going to be this, then this, then this. And some of us went, oh, thank you. Thank you. There's an order to our lives. We know what we're going to do. And some of us were like, screw you and your 20 years of education. I'm going to go online and research this. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen with my mom. Your medical degree does not trump Google, huh? Do you see how different that reaction is? There's chaos in our lives. Something is going to go south. Something is going to change. Something is not going to go the way you planned. And you have two, like on a continuum, there's two ways to deal with it. One is you look for that external order. Something outside of me, please tell me what to do. Or you rely on your own choices. No doctor's going to tell me how to take care of my mom. So let's put you in that moment. You're sitting in my seat in that doctor's office. Chaos is all around you. Which one do you choose? Do you follow what the doctor says? Do you make your own choices? What's your preference? Chances are, depending on what context I tell you, you'll change your answer. When I first started putting a little bit of money in RSPs, the stock market, which is chaos defined, right? And little Vince with my $50. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. It's chaos over there. So I hired someone. Gave them my $50. They put it in some black box and possibly it made or lost money. Who knows? I didn't even check my statements because what do I know? A couple years ago, and I knew this was going to happen. All of a sudden, I got obsessed with reading about investing. Read every book I could, researching online, you name it. And suddenly, I had a choice of how I was going to handle the chaos of the stock market. And I promptly went and got my money from my investor. I took care of it myself. Choice. which one you deal with, which choice you're going to make, whether you prefer external order, whether you prefer to follow the guidelines of Henshaw, whether you want to follow the guidelines of the world, whether you want a book that explains why your relationships are struggling the way they are, whatever external system that you want, there's times when we want that. Just give me a bloody path through the chaos because I can't take it. And there's times when we want a choice. No. I pick. I'll take the consequences. Do you know which one you prefer where? If you go back in your life, can you see how you did it differently at different times? Early part of my marriage, I was all about choice. Things start going downhill. Oh, geez, external order all day long. I literally said to my counselor, I will do whatever you tell me to do. Essentially, I said, I will give you my will. There's no longer Vince choosing because Vince's choices led to a divorce. Therefore, I'm going to use you because you know more than I do, I hope. Well, let me say it this way. I know I don't know anything. Therefore, my assumption is you know more than I do. So I'm just going to do what you tell me to do. That's external order and chaos. There's some problems, though. It'd be nice if this was just easy peasy, right? So when we use external order, it's really nice because you can kind of give up responsibility to the world. I don't know what to do, so I'll use an external expert. Let's hope they know more. At least if they screw it up, I can blame them. I don't have to blame myself, right? But here's the deal. They did a bunch of tests where they call it priming. So here's the thing. If you get somebody to read something over and over again before you get them to do something else, you can actually get them to think a little bit differently. So they got a bunch of documents that basically was kind of like BS, but it would basically say to people, you have no choice. Your brain can't make a free choice. There is no choice. You're all chaos. The only thing you have is external order. And they kept people reading this over and over again. Then they got them to do a test. Of course, they're messing with people. It's not really about the test. What they're checking for is how they do the test. Because they made it really easy to cheat. They said, don't cheat. But it was really easy to cheat. For people who felt that they were using external order where their choices didn't matter, what do you think happened to their cheating? Went through the roof. I'm not cheating. I'm just doing what I can, right? The universe is making me do this. They wanted me to have these test answers. What they found was when we see the world through the external, or when we deal with our chaos through external order, our morality drops. It's kind of scary, isn't it? When you use this way of calming yourself in chaos, your morality tends to drop. You'll cheat more, you'll lie more, you'll take things that you maybe shouldn't, you'll be less kind, you'll be less generous. Well, that's not awesome. Okay, so let's throw it to the other side. So, using external order to create chaos has some problems. What about the other side? This whole idea of free will. You know what? I don't know how many millions of movies there are about how we deal with free will. But I was listening to a podcast, Lore, I think. He talks about, I think it's Queen E1. Don't quote me on this because I'm usually bad with names. But Queen E1 gets a reading, like a psychic reading that says, you're going to die in Saint Germain. She lives in Saint Germain. So she's like, well, fate's telling me I'm going to die, but I'm going to get away from fate. So what does she do? She moves to a new city, sets up a new palace, a new everything. She's like, nailed it. Totally. And we all know what's going to happen, right? Because we've seen a million movies about this. So she's on her deathbed. She's got some infection. And a priest comes to pray with her. And she's like, oh, that was so comforting. Thank you. What's your name? And he's like, blah, 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 Saint Germain. The idea is you can't get away from fate. And we play with this all the time in stories. But here's the deal. There's some things that choice can't impact. The reality is, my choices didn't impact my mom's cancer, did it? I can bitch and complain. I can tell them to do all sorts of different things. The reality is, my mom's got cancer and there's nothing I can do about it. I can control my attitude. I can control all sorts of things. Choice can do that. But the reality is, choice can't change everything. And when you look at the world through choice and you say, I want to be able to change this, and it's not changeable, you go a little batty, don't you? This is me yesterday. I don't even know why. I have nothing to be home for. But McLeod Trail went from 4 lanes to 1 lane. How do you think I handled that? Thank you. Who said great? Because you're my favorite person now. No, I lost my mind. I'm like, my choice is important and you're screwing this up. When you look at the world through choice only, you get incredibly frustrated because there's certain things you can't control. There's nothing you can do. How many of those situations have happened in the last 6 months of COVID? Being sent home, laid off, job changes, change in mobility, having to wear masks, you name it, right? There's a million things. The choice doesn't impact. I think the 12-step people, man, all you 12-steppers out there, I love you guys, because, man, you think about some of these things deeper than a lot of us do. Anyone ever heard the Serenity Prayer? Chantel, can you throw it up for me? Say it with me. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Can you leave it up for a little longer, Chantel? Is that not a prayer that says, hey, there's times when I can't change anything, and there's times that I can? If you think you can change everything, you're going to go crazy. But if you think there's nothing you can do, you're underplaying your hand. The beauty is knowing the difference. Do we look at the world through an external order that creates order through chaos? Yes, doctor, that sounds like a great treatment plan. Let's do it. And when do you need to have choice? No. We're taking mom home now. We're not admitting her. Think through your life. How often would that serenity prayer be the exact thing we all need to say? Which one do I need right now? Do I need the first story in the Bible? Something external creates order? Do I need the third story? I get to choose. Okay, let's take this to the ninja level. So I want you all to think in your head for just a second, what's your preference? For me, you know me, it's choice. Man, I think I have choice about everything. And if I don't, I get mad that I don't have choice about the thing that I don't have choice about. So this is me. Me and Els, we're in an airport. I can't remember which airport it is, and this is my version of the story. This may not be hers, but mine's better, so let's go with mine. We're there, and I think we're trying to find something. I can't remember the whole story, but there's this moment where we need something. And I'm like, babe, we need to blah, 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 blah. And she's like, well, let's just sit here. Somebody's going to come take care of us and help us. And my mind literally blows up in that moment. What do you mean we're going to wait and let somebody, like, I got to do something. And she's just chill. And I'm like losing my mind, like vibrating. I'm so like, we can't trust anyone else. There's nothing to create external order. There's only my choices. We're going to die if I make the wrong choice. Anyone have a moment with somebody in your life where your view and their view in that moment are not lining up at all? Now, let's be clear. She's calm as a cucumber. She's sitting down on the bench with her legs crossed, leaned back, hair blowing in the wind, I'm sure. I'm losing my mind. So let me ask this question, and this is the ninja question. How often are disagreements you have with people you love more about the preferences we have in how we deal with chaos than the actual issue you're talking about. Sit with that one for a second. I was at GW the other day picking up some bike parts. I was talking to Trudy, the owner. Hey, how's it going, Trudy? Good, good. How's everything? Oh, man. Someone's just in here. Someone wasn't wearing a mask. Somebody with a mask just started to scream at the person without wearing a mask. The person screaming back at them, you know, you educate yourself and screw you. You're trying to kill us all and blah, 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 right? We've all seen it in the news. Is that actually about masks? No. One saying, create external order. We wear masks. That's what we do. That makes me feel safe in the chaos of COVID. And you're effing with my safety. The other person is saying, you have a bloody choice, you moron. Quit being a lemming and going off the cliff with everyone else. Are they talking about masks? No. How often are the arguments in our lives less about the topic we're talking about and more about our preference of how we deal with chaos in those moments? Can you start to see it in your life as you kind of like poke or pick the scabs off? Oh, you're telling me I should make a choice and not use external order. That's what you're trying to get at. Oh, I thought we had choice here. No. All we have is acceptance. You can't change traffic, Vince. Four lanes become one. You can't fix that. Actually, I can. I can just drive through the barricades, right? That's legit, isn't it? I thought about it. I've seen too much in our world right now where I think we're having problems understanding the conversations we're having. Some of us want choice, some of us want external order, and we're fighting about that, but we're calling it something different. We're calling it mask wearing. We're calling it relationship stuff. This is how you handle a relationship. We call it Black Lives Matter. All of these topics, they're all important, but sometimes it's not the topic itself, it's how we choose to deal with the chaos of life. And if I can leave you with one thing today, I want you to be conscious of your preferences in moments. I want to be conscious. I want to be aware of why I'm so attached to a certain way to deal with this. My mom's got cancer and I'm leaning towards one of these sides. If I was aware of that in that moment, do you know how much less arguments we would have had as a family? The number of times someone said, you don't care about mom. Siblings saying it to each other, family members saying it to each other, you don't care about mom because you prefer external order or choice, or vice versa. Brutal. We're watching our mom die, and we're arguing over what we think is mom's care, but really it's this. I can't take the chaos, and so I'm locking into my system, and everybody else needs to do it too, because I can't take it. Be aware. Be aware in a moment. Even as I worked on this message, the number of times me and Elle would talk about something, and I'd be like, wait a second, what am I doing here? Oh yeah, that's what I'm doing. I want choice. Or I want us to do it this way. Be conscious of your preference. Be conscious of the weaknesses of your preference, right? Thinking you have no choice lets you get away with all kinds of stuff. You see this in dating all the time. Fate brought this person to me. You sure that's not just hormones? You sure that's the right person for you long term? Because I don't think you should trust that. I think you should like get your brain involved and think deeply about this person. I understand that sometimes we want this, you know, everything happens for a reason because it gives order to the world around us that just feels like too much. But understand, sometimes you don't have choice. We don't have choice. Even though it's frustrating and we're pissed about it, understand it's not the topic, it's the desire for choice that we're reacting to. And remember, if you can be ninja level, the next time you have an argument with someone, ask yourself, wait a second, what is this about? Is this about the topic that we're fighting about? Or is this about our preference of how we deal with chaos? The last thing I want to leave you with is this. Friends Church exists. This business exists. All the volunteers exist to inspire you to make your world a little bit better. We see this as each one of us going out into our lives and spreading something positive into the world. Whether it's just helping someone out or having a smile on our face or not being a complete a-hole, right? That's Friends Church. But if you notice, it depends on a certain way of looking at chaos. It says you have the ability to make a choice in your world right now to make the world heaven or hell. Friends Church exists on the belief that we have choice. Not in everything, but in a lot of places. And here's what I want to ask you to reflect on. Sometimes we hide behind this idea that there is no choice in this moment. It is what it is. I'm swept along the currents of life. Chaos is at me. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm feeling this, and my feelings are my feelings, and so I'm just going to let them out and barf them on everyone. I can't, you know, who am I to make this choice? I can't make this choice. I'm just going to do what everything says I'm supposed to do. The store wants to sell me that. That's what I'm going to do. Whatever. How often are we hiding from the power of our choice in this idea of external order? How often do we give up the power of our choice because we're not sure what to do? We're not sure where to go. We're not sure what choices to make. So today, hey, it's a 3-point sermon. I don't think I've ever done one of those before. In school, they taught me that's how you do these things. So, yeah, you guys. First thing, be aware of how you'd like to deal with chaos. Vince, all about choice. Sometimes there's no choice. Second, be aware in the moment of an argument how the other person's dealing with chaos. Is it different than yours? Is it the same as yours? Be aware of what conversation you're having because maybe it's not about the topic. It's about your preference for dealing with chaos. And the third thing is, think deeply when you're hiding from the power of your choice instead of taking responsibility and saying, I do have choice here. I might not be the whole thing, but maybe I can change my attitude, or maybe I can do one thing, or maybe I can just be a little different. I say this because I want us all to change the world. And each one of us doing this stuff in our lives spreads out, and we literally have the power to make the world around us a little bit better. Thanks, everyone. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit about right and wrong, not in the way you think it is. So if you're having to deal with some of this stuff right now, I invite you to come and think deeply about questions of right and wrong, and what do we even do with that anymore? Have a great week, everybody.